Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Amen. How many are alive? How many are thankful they're alive? Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe we could prove we're alive by obeying Psalm 47:1.
Wonderful.
1998 is here. 21st century is going to be here in less than 2 years. It's going fast, folks. Have you ever had an event in your life that you wish was over? And you anticipated it, sometimes with nervousness, and then it came to pass. The Bible's good at that. It says, and it came to pass. Everything's going to come to pass. You had a dentist appointment, you were scared to death, but it came to pass. You might have one tooth less, but it came to pass. You might have one filled, it came to pass. You might have gold put in, and you went to the bank. Expensive, but it came to pass. And I want to, Jesus Christ is coming again in clouds, and he's coming with all his holy angels attending him. It will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Man, it doesn't seem like it, but it will come to pass. Amen. Just think, we have less than 2 years to the 21st century. Less than 2 years to the 21st century. That is amazing to me. It's just coming, coming. It's here, it's gone, it's history. 1998 is here, but where am I? When you get where you're going, where will you be? Where am I going in 1998? What spiritual goals have I set for 1998? I think some people have set some goals, and I think some people are satisfied with the status quo. I think some people feel like, I'm okay. God, you're okay, and I'm okay. I don't need any changes, you know? And I just say that to stir us up and say, hey, we need to write something down or put it in, write it indelibly in our minds that we do need to change for the better. Amen. And so, why not have some goals? Why not have some New Year's resolutions? A resolution is a decision. According to Webster's Dictionary, a resolution is a determination. A resolution is a fixed purpose. I am going to get the Holy Ghost in 1998. How about that? Isn't that a good thing to resolve? I am going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost in 1998. So let's open the book, let's read the book, and let's discover what we need to do to receive the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So 1998 is here, and don't let it go by without accomplishing something greater, something better, or growing more in the Lord than you did in 1997. How many have that desire? Amen. I sure do. Amen. So, how many have resolved that they're going to read their Bibles more than ever? How many have resolved that they're going to learn to love to pray? You know, see, you can't just resolve you're going to pray more. I'm going to pray more in 1998. You know, I'm going to pray more in 1998. Let's see now, what time did I start? Let's see now, okay, I started at 12 minutes after 10. Synchronize the clocks here so I don't pray a minute too long. Okay, because if I, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not what prayer is all about. I said this when I made my resolution, I'm going to learn to love to pray. I'm going not just to pray more, I'm going to learn to love to pray, to be shut in with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. What a resolution. Amen. So I'm going to read my Bible more than ever before. I'm going to learn to love to pray. And I'm going to be a more intense witness for what the Lord has done for me. Man. And I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a kinder and sweeter person. How about you? Don't you want to read more, pray more, love to pray, learn to love to pray, and be a better witness in that? Or is everybody satisfied with your status quo? Don't do it, folks. It's dangerous because you cannot stand still. You cannot stand still. You're going to deteriorate and go down, or you're going to climb up. You're going to advance, or you're going the other way. Has to be. Clayton Steinauer gave a good illustration one time. He said this spiritual walk, growing in the Lord, is like going up a down escalator. If you just stand there, folks, and satisfied with your status quo, if you just stand there, you're going to be going down, 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 down on that down escalator. You got to exert some energy. Now, somebody said we're saved by grace and we don't need any energy. Whoops! Wait a minute. You're not under the law, but under grace. And grace is divine influence on the heart. That's what it is. 5485, Strong's Concordance. So the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So when we are saved by grace, it's not just unmerited favor, folks. Some people think it's just unmerited favor. No, it's unmerited favor, all right, but it's also that power that he gives you to influence your walk, your step, your lifestyle, everything. Praise the Lord. We need the grace of God. You are not under the law, but under grace. That's what the Bible says, and that's why sin shall not have dominion over you. Because now, when you were under the law, you didn't have any power to keep the law. But now when you're under grace, you've got power. Amen. I don't want to wreck anything and spill water, but you know, you got power to push and go against the enemy and beat him up. Amen. Run. You got to be moving. You got to go run up. It's fun, isn't it? Really. I still do it. I like to run up the down escalator. I'm an old man, but I still like to do it. You know, I look around and I make sure Brother Urshan, Brother Nichols, anybody isn't here, you know. And then run up that down escalator. See, if you're running up a set of stairs, which I do at the hospital, you know, but when you do that you can stop and rest, and you don't go down. But you stop on a down escalator going up, you're going to get your toes pinched. You know, you don't do it. Don't do it. We have to have some resolutions. We've got to have some decisions, some determinations. We're going to go. And by the way, the Bible does say, strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Bible does say, fight. Striving takes energy. Fighting takes energy. It's not our energy. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Amen. And so, resolve, folks. Resolve. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you haven't been baptized and you've been coming to this church, why not resolve to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? Because he has promised that he will give you the Holy Ghost. And you will speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. And you will have the greatest joy in your life. Amen. So, when the professional investor approaches me with the question, what are your financial goals in life? I love to ask them, sir, what are your spiritual goals in life? Hello? Your financial goals in life are temporary, with temporary results. But your spiritual goals in life are permanent. They are eternal. They are everlasting. So set your spiritual goals in life way before you set any financial goals. Your financial goals in life are worthless, absolutely worthless, unless you have spiritual goals, because you ain't going to spend no money up in heaven. They don't have a commissary up there. Commissary? That's a military word. They don't have that. So, go ahead. earn all the money you can and pay tithes. Earn all the money you can and build the building. That's all right. But put your spiritual goals way before you put any financial goals or any other goals. Your budget won't mean a thing up in heaven unless it includes God, unless it includes those spiritual goals. Praise the Lord. The Bible has a lot to say about money. It says, you that have money, you give, you distribute, you communicate, right? And then it says, if you have money, don't set your heart on it, because it's uncertain. But there's one thing that's certain. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's certain. Praise the Lord. Our faith in the Lord. So when the investor comes to me and says, what are your financial goals in life? I have to say to him, what are your spiritual goals in life? See, so why spend time learning how to be successful temporarily when I can spend that time reading the Bible and learning how to become successful eternally? Am I stepping on your billfold? Let me tell you, I'm telling you the truth. How many of you know that spiritual goals are more important than financial goals? Sure you do. Sure you do. Okay. Just don't let the old devil fool you. Don't let him trick you. Man. And I'm going to talk about tithing and money one of these, hopefully this year, one of these days. Amen. Right now, I was going to do some other things. Well, let me go for a little while here. Praise the Lord. I want to make some predictions for 1998. And I think my predictions are accurate. I predict. They'll say you're cheating. I predict that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Folks, it's not going to get any better in this society. We can work as hard as we want to and do what we can, and we should, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a promise from God. Okay? Do you think I'm right in my prediction? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Another one. I predict that iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. That's a scary verse. I know some people push it aside. And they say, Romans, Paul said to the Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the sin pot. You know, just let me add it, because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. People that talk like that don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. And they interpret a scripture like that. This verse here is just totally different than that one. This one says, and Jesus said it, and it's going to come, because he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It'll grow cold. The Christian will grow colder. The sinner will grow colder. I just heard a song the other day. Why are you so cold? Why are you so spiritually cold? Why do you ignore the Lord? You won't acknowledge him. You won't consider him in your life. You just turn him away and you turn him off. You say, God, I've got to go here. Please go with me and watch over me and clear the traffic so I can get there, you know, to the fair or something, or I don't know what. But it's going to be harder for some churchgoers to worship God because of rampant iniquity. You ever consider that? That's in Matthew 24. Amen. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's consider those words of Jesus. Jesus said, you have left your first love, to the church at Ephesus. Let's not leave our first love. Let's heat it up. Let's remember it. Let's get back to it. Don't lose your convictions. Don't lose what the Lord has given you. And I'll tell you something else, a little secret that I have learned. When God begins to move on you, get away, get away, get away, get away. Unless you've got a wife like I've got, you don't have to get away. But if you've got carnal friends, a carnal wife, a carnal husband, when the Spirit of the Lord's moving on you, they're going to drag you down. You got to build yourself up. Just say, honey, I have to go to the restroom. And go to the restroom and bawl your eyes out and get that touch from the Lord. We need it. I'll tell you what happens when the church service, the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. And I've seen it happen. Some young person comes over down to the altar and they're weeping and crying. And one of their friends that didn't happen to get touched by the Lord that night in a spirit of carnality will come up and tap them on the shoulder. And they turn around and I watch the very scene. And they look and their faces are just red and their Kleenex is wet and their eyes are just soggy with tears, you know. And they look around, they come on, we got to go now. We're meeting at such and such a place. And reluctantly, this person will get up and give in to that peer pressure. I would say young person or old person or whoever you are, when you get that touch from the Lord, you just stay there. I'd stay in the garden with Him. Though the night around me be falling, He'll bid you go when it's time. Amen. Stay at that altar and get that touch from God. So many people have lost the power of a Holy Ghost blessing because they have gotten up from the altar too soon. Stay there, folks, when God's touching you or your chair. Another thing that happens is, we don't have altar room here. Hopefully we will, maybe this year. But people will sit in their chairs and the music is playing. And my wife is so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And a lot of you just sit to listen to her and feel the Holy Ghost. And I know you do that. You have told me you do that. And it's beautiful and it's spiritual. And I appreciate my wife for that music leadership. But I see people that are sitting there worshiping the Lord, and somebody else will come in from the hallway, the aisle, the foyer. They'll walk in, and they'll sit down with them and start a conversation. They don't need that. Please, if anybody's got something carnal to talk about, I'd rather have you just clear the building, really. If it's a fishing trip you're talking about, or a roller skating party, or popcorn and pop. I don't care what it is. And popcorn and pop is not wrong. But, oh man, please, keep the sanctuary sanctified and holy. And so when somebody comes in from out there, just don't stop worshiping. And they sit down. Now, if they've got news that 14 people received the Holy Ghost out in the hallway, well then, fine, wonderful, go ahead and talk. But tell me so I can announce it. But if we're coming in to do something else and make our plans for tomorrow and just discuss our vacation or something like that, don't do that. Please don't do that. Come on in and sit down by them and cry with them and lift your hands with them and worship God with them and pray with them. That's why they're here, for a spiritual boost, for a spiritual lift. Hallelujah. Am I right? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are going to try to do better in 1998? Amen. I'll tell you what it is, folks. It's not pop and pizza that keeps our young people in church. It's the Holy Ghost. It might keep them in some churches, but we have a different philosophy in this church. And I mean to drive it home more clearly this year than ever before. Because as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we're going to keep the money changers out of here. And we're going to keep them that sell doves and so on out of here. We want the Holy Ghost predominant in this place. We want people to be able to come here that were drawn by the Holy Ghost. How many people have come here and said, we have in the car, who invited you? Nobody. Nobody invited me, but the Spirit of the Lord drew them. And what we need is the power of the Spirit of the Lord, not just to draw them, but to fill them and satisfy them when they do get here. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. If I wasn't so old, I could jump. Jump for joy. Praise the Lord. I think that spiritual young people agree with me. I really do. And I hear such good things about our young people. God bless them. Great. I know. You played the piano. God bless you. Good for you. You said something. Good for you. You, all of you. I love you young people. You're great. And the only time I remember that I'm not a young person is when I look in the mirror. And, you know. But otherwise, I just feel in my spirit like I'm Well, you know what it is? We have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is eternal. That's why we Christians feel so young. We just feel young. Why? We can be laying on a sick bed in a hospital, dying in a home for the aged, and we feel young. You want to know how young we feel? How old was Grandma Elva Steinhardt when she died? 96? 90-something. Way up in the 98, somebody said. Okay. I'll tell you, it never failed. It never failed. My wife and I, wouldn't we, honey? We'd go up and visit her at the homes for the aged, you know, and we'd walk in, and Grandma would say, "Oh, Brother Tambor," and away she'd go in tongues. It never failed. Every time we ever went and visited Grandma Steinhauer, she would get the Holy Ghost all over again. She would speak in tongues, shake and tremble in her bed. That's the way it was when we visited her. I'm sorry if it didn't happen to somebody else, but every time. I mean, here's this woman, 90, 91, 92, 93, never forgot how to speak in tongues. Full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we Christians, we just feel young, don't we? When we're full of the Holy Ghost, we just feel young. You know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know why I think that says that? Because 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whenever men get off work, you know, they got to go to the bar. Hey, we'll see you at the bar. We'll see you at Texas Bar. We'll see you at Stairs Bar. You know, I used to hear this all the time. It was Texas Bar. It was Stairs Bar. It was Arts Bar or somebody's. It was Scott's. Remember Scott's down there? Yep. A lot of those guys bought meat and food from me because they serve food in their bars. Okay, so the guys would say, "Well, let's go to the bar before we go home. You know, we got to get our joy built up. We have to be happy." And so, we're going down the bar. I'd always say, "Nope, I'll see you in church." They don't go to church. I'll say, "You guys, you need to go home. You need to go home to your wife. Doesn't she have supper ready for you?" "Yeah, the old lady's got mashed, you know, something." I say, I would almost scold those guys. Say, "You guys, what'd you marry her for? Why did you marry that woman? You need to love that woman. You need to respect that woman. When that table's set, you need to honor her and respect her by being there on time for the meal that she labored to fix and prepare for you." Is that good marriage counseling and teaching? Yeah, you bet it is. Amen. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's not going to make you as happy as the Holy Ghost will make you, but be filled with the Spirit. God knows that His wine, the new wine, is going to make you a whole lot happier than that old wine. Oh, yes, and it does. I'm sure it does. I'll tell you why. Maybe I've never tasted wine. Maybe I've never gotten drunk on wine. Maybe I've never had those kicks and joys, you know. But I'll tell you what. I've seen those that have. And I've seen them come into work on Monday morning. And I've seen them pound their heads and say, "Hey, give me a tomato juice, will you? Give me a tomato juice." And so I'd always have a supply of tomato juice on Monday so you could get along with those rascals. They're going out, and I'm in church. And I'll walk into the building, and I'll say, "Good morning." And they'll say, "What's good about it? What's good about it? Where'd you go last night?" "Well, I was at the bar and got drunk." I said, "Where?" And then they say, "Where did you go?" I said, "I went to church last night." "I went to church last night." "Oh, did we have a wonderful time in church?" You know, praise the Lord. So be not drunk with wine. And how many people celebrated the new year by being drunk with wine? Or liquor, or beer. How many? But we came to church. Yeah, I had a wonderful time. We left here at 20 minutes to 2. Amen. Just hallelujah. Wonderful. So, my prediction is, Jesus said it, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to be harder for some churchgoers to worship God because of rampant iniquity in the land. This know also that in the last days perilous, and that means fierce, hard to deal with, difficult times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a time when people love their own selves so much? I mean, they love themselves. They got to cater themselves and baby themselves and buy everything that's going to make them happy. Do you know how to spell joy? J-O-Y. Jesus, J, first. Others, O. Y, yourself, last. You know, there's a misunderstanding about loving yourself. You know, the Bible says no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it as the Lord does the church. And so, I was at the parking lot, you know, waiting for my wife one time. I think it was out in the back at a certain store at the mall here. You know, I just sat there and parked my car, and I saw a lady driving up. She drove up, and she parked her little Pontiac. And so she couldn't see me, but I saw her. You know how ladies do sometimes when nobody sees them? No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth. She was just cherishing it. She's looking at herself. You know, there's nothing wrong with looking presentable and making sure your tie doesn't have gravy on it and it's all tied straight and things like that, and your hair is combed. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just telling you that we really do love ourselves. But here is a sign of the last days that men are really going to be lovers of their own selves, not really caring for somebody else, but loving their own selves. Covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We know all of these things are coming to pass. True speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Listen to this one. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. And so they have... And the Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. In other words, choose your company, folks. Choose your company in 1998. Choose it carefully. Be with people who are hungry for God and you can help, or be with people who are ahead of you spiritually and can help you. Is that good advice? Choose your company. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't let your children go with a rowdy gang. Don't let them go with a infamous crowd. Don't let them do that. Watch over your young people. They're your most precious possession. Know where your children are at all times. Know who they're with. Choose their company. Choose your company. I'll tell you, I get bored to death. I get bored to death when I go somewhere and it's just carnal talk, and my wife doesn't worry about me because I always have a snack in my pocket, you know. I've got a little Bible here and things like that, and then if I put the wrong clothes on and I don't have it, I got it right up here, you know. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so sometimes I don't enter into a lot of conversations because I like to choose. One man said, choose my environment. One man said, a friend of mine, some of you remember him, it's a long, long time ago. Burns, I think. What was his first name? Burns, anyway. He came here and preached, and he sang, played a guitar, and he married a blonde girl after a while, a charismatic girl, and so on. He was at Rush River Camp. Some of you probably remember him. Good singer. But his dad said... somebody invited him to a supper with some prominent businessmen, and of course the businessmen all lit up, and they got their appetizer in liquid form, you know, and then they started telling their dirty stories, and the friend that invited this minister said, "Whew," he says, "man, I'm sorry I invited you here, you know, but." Does this atmosphere bother you? And the preacher's son said, he was a preacher himself now, he said, no, doesn't bother me at all. He said, I bring my own atmosphere with me. And I like that. I like that. Christians, let me tell you this. Take your own atmosphere with you. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know how long you should pray? Pray without ceasing. You know how long you should pray? You should pray so long, and it can be 5 minutes, it can be 30 seconds, or it can be hours. But pray so long until, pray as long as it takes you not to be able to stop praying. Have you ever done that? You ever done that? We have. We have. We've been in worship services. You worship the Lord. You worship the Lord. You can't, I mean, it doesn't matter who you're talking to out in the world. It just comes out. That's how long to worship. That's how long to praise the Lord. You haven't done it long enough unless it's in your heart and on your mind and on your lips continually. Amen. So these people that have lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God have a form of godliness. They want a church. They still want to go to church. They still want the blessing of God. They still want to be identified with the righteous. But the Bible says in the last days, they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so I think for 1998, we need to make that distinction, and we need to be lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I predict that it's going to be as in the days of Noah, and it's going to be as in the days of Lot. And you know how the homosexuals and the lesbians are gaining ground all the time. But you know, every once in a while you get a breath of fresh air, even when you read the newspaper. And I have an article out in my room where I would just love to read it to you and share it with you, but I won't. Okay, so years ago, we were shocked when a church in our city closed down Sunday school. Not for a holiday, but for the summer. They used to have Sunday school year-round, but now so many people are missing, so many people are on vacation, so many people are gone that we might as well just shut it down. Folks, this church ain't going to shut down as long as I can drive or walk. I'll be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to close down for summer because it's more fun going fishing, or it's more fun going swimming, or it's more fun going boat riding or something. No, we're just going to stay open for those that want it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And more recently, we've been shocked to hear that churches, in order to accommodate, listen to me, what did I read now? I read in the Bible that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and they would have a form of godliness, but it wouldn't be real. It wouldn't be genuine. So I say, we have been shocked. I was shocked, at least, to hear that churches, in order to accommodate the pleasure-loving crowd, hold services on Saturday evening or even Friday evening so that church will not interfere with their pleasure on the weekend. How many have heard of that? Quite a few of you. So we're going to accommodate you. We're going to have church Saturday night, so you won't have to be bothered with it on Sunday. I know a Pentecostal man who said our church is growing. And I thought, oh, am I ever jealous? Tumors grow too. Cancers grow too. What is growth? Growth in itself is numerical. It's not necessarily spiritual. And so I met this man, a businessman in town, and he went to a church where they had to hold two services. The crowds were so great. And this man said to me, it's still ringing in my ears. I said, which service do you go to? He said, oh, I go to the early church service. He said, so that I can get out of that golfing court, and so that I can, of course, so that it doesn't interfere with my day. Is that what church means to people? Okay, give me just a couple of more minutes here. Sunday school closed down, church Saturday night and Friday so we don't interfere with our pleasurable weekends. Now, the latest, maybe it's not the latest, but the latest that I'm aware of. Now, in order to get people to come to church on certain Sunday mornings, the church televises the Green Bay Packers game. We're not going to lose our numbers. We're going to lose our spirituality, but we're not going to lose our numbers. Keep coming to church. We'll give you what the world gives you. You know, folks, it used to be that The taverns entertain people to get their business. Now churches are beginning to entertain people to get their business. I don't mean to be critical. I don't mean to be mean or nasty. I just mean to keep this church spiritual. That's what I want. Anything you do on your own time, okay. But doing it on church time, don't give me that stuff. We don't have enough prayer. We don't have enough worship in the church. My house shall be called a house of prayer. How many are going to help me keep it that way? Help me keep it that way. Let's not turn to pleasure and carnality. I can go up to Chi Chi's and watch the Packers on Sunday if that's what I want to do. But to go to church to watch the Packers? They do it. It's advertised. I predict that men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. They'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, we never did have a vote in this church on whether we would continue to worship or worship and then take a break, watch the Packers, and then resume worshiping. We never did vote on that. We never did vote on worshiping God for a while, take a break, worship the Packers a while, and then we never did take. And you know that, Brother Nichols, you've said this, that they didn't vote. Moses didn't hold a vote on how many think we should cross the Red Sea. No. They didn't vote. Moses had a word from the Lord. And let me tell you something. I've got a word from the Lord. The Bible says that I'm supposed to preach the word. And let me tell you, the word that I preach says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, saints of God, let's fight for it. Let's fight for it. The devil's intruding into every area of our lives, and now he wants to intrude into our Sabbath days. Can we stand? I'm not halfway through, but